Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford for nearly 60 years, is just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway and at BillCurryFord.com, home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. Bill Curry Ford is a proud supporter of JoeBucksFan.com.
And hey, it's an honor. I know Steve Isbitz is not here. You're like, who is this guy? My name is Rock Ronnie, but this is the sage of Tampa Bay sports. This is the Ira Kaufman highly rated podcast. I'm filling in for Steve today. The man, the sage, is here. And also, we are graced by the presence of the one, the only, Mr. Lee D. Kemper. Boys, how are you?
Rock, we're halfway through training camp. Rock, I got to give you your props before we even start this podcast. Lee, sometimes you just got to give the man his due. Rock, you said Ira Kaufman, not Ira Kaufman. My own brother says Kaufman. You're ahead of my brother, Rock. You've just gone ahead of him in my little diary. You know that?
Do you know my family? This has been a bone of contention with my wife. Her sister is married to Andy Kaufman.
You're kidding.
And they're Jewish. You keep saying Kaufman. I said, no, it's Kaufman. So finally,
you don't mean the comedian actor,
no,
I
no, 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 no.
That's
no,
what I was thinking.
No, this guy's originally out of Philly. They live in the D.C. area. He's got a great job at Marriott. And finally, we had a gathering. And I said, Ira Kaufman. And my wife goes, Andy, tell him. He goes, how do you spell it? How many F's?
You said one.
When I said one, he goes, you are right, Rock. No, he's telling you right. It's Kaufman.
Not Kaufman Tires.
No, I know, I know, I know, I know. Listen, guys, we're going to get into
so
this.
So the two part. F's, that's got nothing to do with the burglar of Banff.
Two F's equal Kaufman. One F equals
but
Kaufman.
But not the burglar of Banff.
Rock, what's on your mind halfway through training camp, my friend?
Well, listen, I want to tell everybody, man. Well, Ira, you got so many darn fans, and they're thinking about, where am I going to go? Where am I going to go? You want to go out. You want to go to the bar. You want to be with the man. You can watch the Bucks Steelers preseason opener with Ira Kaufman. It's Friday night at Buffalo Wild Wings. Now, it's in Wesley Chapel, just off of I-75. It's State Road 56. Exact address, Buffalo Wild Wings, Wesley Chapel, Friday night with the Sage, 26725. The Sage is going to be out there before 7 o'clock, all game long. You can party with the Sage. He'll have Buffalo Wild Wings gift cards to give away while supplies last.
I might drink a shot with every Buck touchdown, Rock.
Be careful. If you don't
is
do
there
Uber,
any danger in that I'm going to go over five or six?
Never use Uber.
Yeah. Be careful, Sage. Ira's going to be at different Buffalo Wild Wings for every road game this season. Just check out the schedule at JoeBucksFan.com or on Twitter. But Friday night, Wesley Chapel, Buffalo Wild Wings. I will be there before 7 o'clock.
And I'll be at other locations, Rock, throughout the season.
Beautiful.
And that's not the only thing you can do this weekend. You know, with the Bucks off on Saturday, it's the perfect night to head to Pin Chasers for the one and only Cyber Saturday. Hey, it's high energy music, club lighting, and friends. What else you need on a Saturday night? Get the Pin Chasers for a great time in the lanes. Enjoy a two-hour Cyber special. $14.29 for kids, $15.29 for adults. Unlimited bowling special for $16 per person from 11 p.m. to close. And free shoes as always, even new socks if you need them. So check out all the great daily specials at pinchasers.net. That's pinchasers.net. And there are three Pin Chasers locations to serve you: Midtown Tampa and North Armenia, Hillsborough Avenue, immediately north of the airport, and in Zephyr Hills on Gall Boulevard, which is also Highway 301. And speaking of Ira and his appearances, look for a special Ira Kaufman Insider event coming to Pin Chasers later this fall. Just go to pinchasers.net,
Rock,
to monitor the news.
Rock, let me say this up front. When it comes to bowling, I'm bitching about something right now. And Rock, you bowled before, and you might be able to give me a little advice. Here's what I'm saying. I throw the straightest ball in the world, the straightest damn bowling ball. And you know what? I hit that pocket perfect. It's a dull thud, and eight pins go down, and sometimes I even get a split out of it. Then I watch the guy at the lane next to me, Rocky's a little lefty guy. He's about 4'10", and he got that big twist, that big freak starts it off on the freaking, the left side. It's falling into the gutter, and he misses the pocket. and the pins are flying like crazy. And, Rock, you got to show me how to throw a freaking curve.
He's talking in the press room about you got to have the curve. You got to have the curve. Can't have a straight ball. Or you're not a bowler.
Didn't Clint Eastwood do a movie, Trouble with the Curve,
God.
Or something?
Oh, really?
I got trouble with no curve.
All right, well, listen.
I thought you were going to bring up Juan Marichal's curve.
No, that's my favorite player. Right. Rock, what's on your mind?
No, enough of the curve balls. There's no curve balls when it comes to quarterbacks throwing footballs. So why don't we start with the elephant in the room? And listen, they're going to go as far as Jameis Winston is going to take them. So what you've seen so far, Sage, and it's hard to judge. It's hard to judge. That's all we're going on. I'd like to judge more 11 on 11, not so much 7 on 7. In the beginning, it was pretty obvious. Jameis was having a hard time. We've all heard that Todd Bowles was throwing everything at him.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Arians just said 3 good practices in a row. Is he telling the media the truth? Is it close to that? What are you seeing from Jameis now, Sage?
Lee, I think he's been a little uneven. Not bad. Not great. Uneven. And even if he does have what Arians believes to be a bad practice, I don't think at this point Arians would publicly say it was a bad practice. Because we remember that first practice, which was bad. And I think DeKemper might have asked the question, Coach, how was number 3 today? And Arians didn't bat an eye and said, outstanding.
Yeah.
And right then and there, that told you he's going to tread very lightly on Mr. Winston.
Yeah, his first practice. And we've gone over this before. His first practice was anything but a good practice.
Right.
Now, I've actually heard some people suggest that was the worst practice he's had since he was drafted.
Wow.
It was not good. Let's put it that way. Ira, what did you say you heard Arians say? You know, Arians, like you said, publicly is going to be boosting Jameis.
Yes.
And you thought maybe he might be dealing with a delicate ego?
Well, maybe he was worried about that. I think those fears are unfounded, Rock, being around Winston for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's a guy that's brittle. I think he can handle it. Cutter certainly didn't think he was brittle because every time we'd ask Cutter, why can't the man hit DeSean Jackson? You know what Cutter would say? I'm not sure why. DeSean Jackson's always open. That wasn't defending Jameis Winston.
That's right.
So that was Cutter's way, I think, saying, I better not piss off DeSean Jackson or I'm going to lose that guy.
That was obvious. Cutter was always behind DeSean
Jackson.
Even though DeSean Jackson was all but cut, stabbing him in the back.
And I'm sure Jameis didn't appreciate that at a certain point, right?
I see.
So I would not worry about any kind of fragile state of Jameis Winston. I'm more worried about him throwing a high ball over the middle, Rock.
Yeah.
And when you do that, that ball's picked.
Well, talk about that. You had mentioned one time previously that Arians is really leaning on Jameis to knock it off.
You know what they said, Rock? And you'll appreciate this more than anybody with your background in baseball.
Yes.
After Arians talked about you can't throw a high ball over the middle and overthrow the guy.
Right.
He said we're working closely with Winston to make it more like a throw to second base. Now, that throw to second base, Rock, that's not a ball that's sailing into the outfield.
Right.
It's got a certain velocity and a certain, you know, curve to it. Right, Rock? That throw to second.
I think he's stuck on the curve with the
ball.
I don't know about the curve. I don't know about a curve. But, no, he doesn't want him overthrown over the middle. That's the thing. And a lot – this offense, what I've noticed so far compared to Cutter's offense, a lot of it is passes in the middle of the field where Cutter, it seemed like that offense was more sideline. I'm not saying all, but you're going to see a lot of things over the middle. There was a play today when we were watching where it was low. O.J. Howard helped him out. It was a great grab. So, Lee, you've seen Jameis Winston. You have been a very big supporter of Jameis Winston. I'm listening to you on this podcast. Is this the year? Does it click now? Have you seen anything from practice that this is a little bit of a different Jameis, or pretty much he's looking the same to you, Lee?
He's a little more reserved, I think. And you're like, I'm a big fan of Jameis. I'm a big booster of Jameis. That doesn't mean I'm a flack. I'm not going to, you know, carry his water. If he stinks, I'm going to say he stinks. Early in practice, the first week of practice, you know, that first night, he was terrible. And he's gotten better and better. Now, a minute ago, you mentioned Arian said, oh, he's had 3 good practices.
Right.
Now, I'm glad Ira brought up throwing over the middle, because I went on Twitter. You know, I like to Twitter during practice.
Yeah.
I mentioned that every receiver I thought I saw James throw to. Now, and that's not every pass, but every receiver I saw him throw to, he threw behind. And people were like, "Well, that's what so-and-so was saying." And I would reply, "I can only write what I see." And
that's
I see
that's a matter of timing, Rob.
And I yes, and I see is. Him yes, underthrowing. Now, having said that,
yes,
Ira sort of jogged my memory. I'll highlight three for you. One was to Evans. One was to Justin Watson. And I believe one was to O.J. Howard. Three passes were thrown behind those guys. Two of them were complete.
Now, is this, are you talking recent or when he had that
today,
first pass?
Today, this afternoon. Okay. They were thrown, James threw behind him. However, two of those three passes were over the middle. And Ira's just now talking about Arians has drilled and James said, don't overthrow over the middle. You'd rather have second base than throw the center fielder. So that kind of cancels those out. My initial critiques aren't as sharp as they meant to be because I was explaining how Arians doesn't want him overthrowing over the middle. Well, maybe he was overcompensating and throwing low, throwing short. So, and that's what I put out there on Twitter. And people thought, hey, you know, so-and-so says he's having a good practice. I didn't say he was having a bad practice. Didn't say he was he had a pile of incompletions. Just said he was throwing behind.
Rock, one point I want to make about why I think Winston's play will be in ascendancy as training camp progresses and mm-hmm. throughout the month of August. Mm-hmm. 2 points. One you made. One, they throw in a lot at him in terms of wrinkles that he's not used to.
Right.
Can you be more vanilla than Mike Smith's defense?
Oh, my God.
Even in
vanilla,
training camp.
That's the word you
that's
use?
That's the biggest thing. That's the word been the biggest difference.
Vanilla is the word he used?
You even said it on one of the podcasts. You've never even seen a defense in a practice like this. And with the Bucks, it's been so long.
Yeah,
it's hard to even
jarring.
See. They're flying to the ball. They're on top of everything.
Of all the words, Ira, you
vanilla.
Know I love your vocabulary. Vanilla.
Well, what do you want, pablum? What do you want?
Well, I was going to, if possible, I would use the four-letter word for feces. I mean, vanilla.
Watch your don't get us thrown off the air. Now, Rock, here's my second point.
I'm ready.
Because you made a beautiful point about Bowles throwing a lot at Winston.
Yep.
And you know what? In the end, that's going to help. It's going to help.
No
it'll
doubt.
Struggle
no doubt. This is the time for this.
And it'll help the old line.
Yeah.
Now, here's the second point. I don't think there's any question they are tinkering, and I'm not saying topsy-turvy.
Yeah.
They are tinkering with his footwork and some of his mechanics. And why shouldn't they? These are new guys. They have different ideas. Rock, if they mess with your golf swing the first day, are you going to go out and shoot a 76?
You're going to be all screwed up.
You'll be all screwed up.
Yeah.
But in the end, you'll be better for it.
Okay.
So those are two things for Jameis watchers to keep an eye on, how he's going to progress because of these factors.
How about Arians, when we just heard him talk about in the beginning, when Jameis Winston looked at his checkdowns and he went to Rojo and Rojo went 60 yards to the house. And it was almost like he looked over at Aaron's like, oh, it can work. I can get a big play. He didn't have that mindset. I'm just wondering, guys, do you think, though, he's got Clyde Christensen is always right there with him. And then you've got Byron Leftwich, and he's really the offensive coordinator. I don't see the quarterback whisperer near Jameis at all. Now, maybe he is. We don't know what's going on in these rooms.
Sure.
And then even Tom Moore, 80-some years old, he's walking around.
Yeah.
He's in the room. Is it too much? Do you think at this point, no, concerned, yes, no, Sage?
Well, I think those different voices have to get together without Winston being in the room and decide what he can handle. And certainly everybody's got to be basically on the same page. So if he hears the same thing from four guys, that's not a problem. If he hears some slightly different things, Lee, that could mess up a young player.
I were nailing ahead. You nailed it. If they're all on the same page, there's no need to worry about too many cooks in the kitchen. If each cook is trying to push his own recipe, that could mess the guy up. A veteran, he could mess up a veteran, much less a rookie. So, yeah, because you're getting mixed messages maybe. I absolutely agree with Ira. He said it perfectly. What do you want from me? I was the best. I can't improve on the best.
It's vanilla, Lee. It's vanilla.
He's a sage at Tampa Bay Sports. You know what else I'm noticing too, man? Oh, my God. When they get in the red zone, he hits sometimes Evans, but a lot of times, especially today, It's O.J. Howard. It's Cameron Brate. He's got big receivers in the end zone. There should be no excuses there, right,
he
with these
like
guys.
He threw like three or four straight balls to O.J. Howard.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Are you seeing this?
Well, I have seen through this training camp him throwing a lot of red zone passes to O.J. Howard. And oddly enough, O.J. Howard is either wide open or it's a complete mismatch against a cornerback, a foot smaller than he is. So I expect to see that a lot this season.
They have exceptional targets.
Yeah, there's no more excuses for James.
No, there isn't. There isn't. And Godwin's having a good camp, it looks like to me.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't
I mean,
he?
Not only does he have good weapons, he also, I'm going to dare say that Winston also has weapons that are not going to stab him in the back and change routes, speed, it's effort, like a certain someone did
in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So, what you're talking about.
So everybody's got a lot of background information, Rock, that he's not ready to share yet, but
I know,
he will.
I heard that on these podcasts.
So I think not
it
only,
was worse than we thought, huh? Kemp.
If I spoke openly about what I heard from a guy who works in New York for the NFL, what he told me, and I have no reason not to believe him.
Yeah.
No one would complain about Jameis. Everybody would know who the culprit is.
Right.
And I outed the culprit a year ago. I said there's something up here. But real quick, I'll say this.
Yes.
Jameis has no more excuses anymore. Not only does he have outstanding receivers, they're on his page. When we talked about on the same page, they're on his page. They want him to succeed. They'll run the right routes. They'll run the correct routes. They'll run the routes the right speed, the same speed that they ran in practice. So there's no more excuses anymore. None. No more excuses. Now, you want to say, oh, Jameis doesn't have a running game? Eh, a lot of quarterbacks don't have a running game. They do okay. So, to me, no more excuses.
Now, may I disagree with my esteemed partner here, Rob?
Please.
Or is
where?
This going to be a problem?
No. Isbits would not cut you off. I won't cut you off. Go for it.
All right. Targets outstanding. Check mark.
Boom.
Pass blocking, adequate. What's missing? Run blocking and a run game. Mm-hmm. Rock? I don't think we have any idea how much an effective ground game, and I'm not talking about Ezekiel freaking Elliott. give me average 4.1 yards.
Melvin Gordon?
3.6. You have no idea what effect that'll have on Jameis Winston. It's going to raise his game, and it's going to help cement Arian's message that you don't have to do it all.
Right.
And all of a sudden, it's 2nd and 5 instead of 3rd and 8. I mean, everything changes, Lee. So I'm going to disagree with you about the importance of that ground game. Rock, we all know the rules in football. We know everybody's throwing the ball all over the place. The Bucs had the number one passing game in the league. What good did it do them last year?
You're right.
Now, part of that's the defense.
You can't ignore that.
Well, how can you say, all right, Sage, how do you know that they don't have a running game just because it's not a big name? This guy, Dari,
they haven't done it
has
in
looked
years,
pretty good.
Right? They haven't done
but
it.
This is a new system. Have you seen anything? Have you, Lee? Have you seen it, Sage? How do you know?
I haven't seen enough to suggest that they're going to be dominant. Let's put it that way.
Well, Lee, I'll say this. To me, the two standouts of camp are the secondary. The bunch of young jackals over there.
I agree with that. They're getting their hands on a lot of balls. Yes, they are.
And Ronald Jones. Because we all know about O.J. Howard's skills.
Right.
We all know about it. He's got to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. We know about Chris Godwin. I think it's a big if. I'm not buying into Ronald Jones yet. Not yet, Rock. Not after a week of training camp. I got to see the guy. Now, I've heard the suggestions. I think this is crazy. You tell me. I'm hearing suggestions he's going to take Barber's job as the primary back.
I've heard that too. I have heard that too.
I don't see
and
it.
And don't look out. Look out for this Dari. Can you pronounce his last name?
No, I'm not going to try.
Okay.
You can't even say Kaufman. So
he's big. He's strong. He's got good hands.
I would not be shocked.
Are you saying Ronald Jones can be the primary back?
Well, look at the number of carries these guys are getting in practice. Ronald Jones is getting more now. Ronald Jones looks to be improved. Last year he didn't look like he belonged in an NFL roster. This year he looked like he belongs in an NFL roster. Mm-hmm. I'm not suggesting he's going to be a stud, but you can say, okay, I can see this guy having something. I'm not saying he's going to go out and run for 800 yards or 1,000 yards. He looks like he belongs.
Wasn't he drafted to be a change of pace back? Yeah. Complimentary back?
No, he was all screwed up last year, and he seems like a different guy, but we got to wait.
He seems more of a power back now.
Yeah, he does. He does, but like you said, Sage, you got to wait until. What about the line, though? That's the thing. And you know what? Sage, I'm going to set you up on a tee. And if you even listen to Arians, last press conference before this last one that we just heard. We got to develop some younger, especially tackles. You know what I'm saying?
You couldn't say it any better, Lee, because I had somebody that I talked to yesterday about the Bucs. He still follows them closely. He doesn't live in Tampa, but he's really sharp on football. He knows the guy. He's got no axe to grind. Doesn't hate the Bucs. Doesn't love the Bucs. Tells it like it is, like you do on the air, Rock. Mm-hmm. And he said, we were talking about Jason Light and some of the draft picks, and you know, I said, well, maybe Hargraves wasn't a bad pick. We'll see what happens. Maybe Noah Spence wasn't a bad pick. We'll see what happens with a new coaching staff. He goes, I'll tell you the shame of Jason Light right now that he's got no answer for. Damar Dotson's 33 freaking years old, and there's nobody pushing him.
That concerns me.
They don't have a young tackle pushing him.
And what did Arian say? We need to develop young tackle. That stunned me.
Yeah.
That stunned me. And by the way, don't you love every press conference, Arian says something that sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yes.
It's great.
Yes.
Like he said, when he was asked Saturday night, hey, if somebody's going to try to block Matt Gay's kicks, couldn't the guy have a broken hand? And Arian's, I hope so.
And Rock, he's not talking about Caleb Benenock.
I thought he was.
I don't think so.
Well, who else would he say?
Yeah, when he says, we have Caleb Benenock down. Really? He's been down for how long, Lee?
Well, when Arian said we didn't develop young tackles, to me that was a shot at one or both people. It was either a shot at Benenock and or George Warhop, because we need to develop young tackles. We have young tackles on the roster.
Yeah.
They were here before you
got here. They're not premium draft picks.
Right.
True.
Right.
But they haven't been developed. I mean, yeah. Benenock, I'll tell you a good story. This might get me in trouble. I don't care.
Is there a source to this story, or is it unsourced, Kemper?
A source who will not be named.
Rock, what am I going to do with this?
This is like 2 years ago, before 2017 training camp. This gentleman who knows what's going on in this building, shall we say. And he was saying, Benenock in a pinch, he can play guard. And this, again, 2017, not 2018. So 2017, and training camp starts, one of the first days of training camp, and I talked to Benenock after a practice, and I said, I've been told that you play guard in a pinch. He got all bent out of shape at me. I can't. Whoever told you that doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. Fast forward a year, and what happened? The Bucks tried to make him a guard, and he was horrid. So he knew he was right.
You know, Rock, you've been listening to the rhetoric that's come out of one Buck for many years.
Yeah.
And Lee's making a strong point here. I don't care whether it's Light or Dominic or a coach that's saying it, but, Rock, how many times have you heard somebody will ask the question, the guys at the podium, hey, could so-and-so play center? And they always go, yeah, that's the beauty of it. And Rock, it never works out. It never works. I mean,
it doesn't. Know. That's why I got to give Ali Marpet credit, because they moved that guy around.
Yeah.
And he does a decent job, and especially by moving around at the NFL level.
Yeah, young guy.
Right.
Well, remember when he was drafted, the weekend he was drafted, and we're in the same studio where they have Bucks players and coaches at a podium.
Right.
Light stood right over there at that podium, and he said, we project him to be a center.
He did. And he had never played center.
Unbelievable.
Never played
did
center.
You go over and tell him that, Lee?
Who, Ali?
Ali Marpet?
That would have been great. He probably knows about it because it was public record. I mean, it wasn't off the record. It was on TV and everything.
Rock, we had a good crowd out here today. A
really good crowd. That's the other thing I wanted to ask you guys. Okay. We had heard it's going to be double fields. Oh, it's going to be different. No, there has been more coaching because we don't hear the music. That's good. But I think his idea. Now, today, when we're recording this, it was a nice, finally, at 4, 5, 6 o'clock, it was nice. But they've been
nice as in what?
They've been nice. Well, it's nice and hot, Lee. But at least they got outside. You know what I mean?
Without rain, without interruption.
I wonder if he's going to actually reevaluate next year on this. I know he tried the 8 o'clock because that's going to simulate when they go to London. How long is that? Well, that's way down the road. So I think he's still trying to figure it out. But it was nice to actually be out. But I mean, he's trying to figure this all out. There's something
he could change the morning practice. This is next year, right?
Yeah. He could. All right, here's something that it's news we heard. So Vita Vea walked off, and by watching reps, they're counting on Vita Vea and Ndamukong Suh like so hard. Are they not, Lee?
Yes.
And Lee, that was our man beast on the scene.
Was that Zach, man beast?
Yeah.
He saw that. Now, at first, Arians just kind of blew it off. No big deal. Then later in the press conference, I asked him, hey, I was wondering with his health, he's 66, this is the first camp he's had in a while. How are you feeling? You hear what he said? I'll feel better when I know about Vita Vea. And then he laughed. So don't tell me that's not absolutely, in his mind.
Absolutely.
We are.
And by the way, Rock, along those lines, Rock, I'm not trying to be, you know, Mr. Doom here, but I wouldn't be shocked if Levante David doesn't play week one. I wouldn't. And I want to say this, the way the schedule falls, and tell me where I'm wrong here.
Yeah.
If he's iffy for game one, I'm certainly not bringing him back on a short week for Carolina. So I'll hold him out for the Giants in week three. That's the way the schedule falls. And I'm not rushing Levante David back on a short week in Carolina. You better be careful over there.
I'm sort of like Ira. When I hear little meniscus tear, the word tear freaks me out. I Twittered, what's his name? Football Doc. He's always on NFL, SiriusXM, NFL Radio.
Dr. Chow. Okay.
He used to be San Diego team doctor.
Yes.
And now he kind of has a podcast about sports injuries.
Right.
And that's his forte, so to speak.
Now, Lee, let's say before you start, he has not been privy to Levante David's MRI.
Yeah.
We'll say that up front.
Oh, yeah. He has, and nor will he ever get that with a player because he's not affiliated with the league anymore. So he just talks generalities. Although he was right so far about JPP. He was right so far. He was dubious about an October comeback. And the only thing you see of JPP is him in a neck brace at home in South Florida. So.
And the neck brace is off. You did see that, Lee?
When?
Three, 4 days ago?
Okay. Well, 3-4 days ago, he had a...
Instagram. Maybe 3 days ago, there's a picture, and it showed, and he put it.
With the tattoo?
Yeah, no.
That's an old photo, I was told.
Oh.
I was told that's an old photo, because after that...
He knows when he's posted.
Because, like, the next day, that night that he posted that, that night, I texted somebody who would know, and they told me, no, that's an old photo.
Damn.
So you were talking about Dr. Cho.
Dr. Cho. And I just, Monday night, I Twittered him, and he's on West Coast time. What is your observation? Here's what they're saying about Levante David. Here's the exact quote from Arians. What's your take?
Yeah.
Guy must have been up at 1 o'clock in the morning. He Twittered me at our time, like 4 or 5 o'clock. He's in San Diego. So, yeah, the guy was up late at night, and he basically told me he's either got a website or his podcast. He's going to update Levante David's injury with some information.
Oh, he wouldn't do it for you on Twitter.
Yeah, so heads up,
Rock,
people.
There are different kinds of procedures.
Yes.
Even for a meniscus.
Yes.
There's a total thing. There's a partial.
Yes.
The partial, the recovery is a lot quicker.
3 to 4 weeks.
3 to 4 weeks.
Just to scope.
But, Rock, he's going to be out of football for a month.
I don't even look at it like trying to count it. No, you can't count on him. So, with Levante David, we're not sure.
Yeah, no 3 to 4 weeks, we're guessing
JPP,
right now.
You're hoping
that Vita Vea isn't anything.
Yeah, speaking of Vita Vea, it was today at practice.
Yes.
And Ira alluded to it that our Man Beast intern, Zach Seifter, was there to witness it. I immediately put up a post sitting in the bleachers on my smartphone. God loves smartphones.
So it was a little battle between Vea and Alex Kappa, right?
Yeah, it was with Alex Kappa, and Zach said Vita Vea went down. When he got up, he was in discomfort. They stretched him out. That's his words, not mine, stretched him out, which seems to sound like a cramp. But, you know, we're guessing. We don't know.
Yeah.
But after practice, Arians, of course, was asked right away, what's going on with Vea? He claimed he didn't know. And I'm not saying he's misleading us at all. He just said the last he saw was Vea walking toward the locker room, and he said he looked fine walking. So, but
that's possible. And I did see him walking, and he didn't walk with any limp.
Yes, and the fact that Arians said he didn't know, that leads me to believe it's good. Good in the sense that it's not serious. Because, and this is just a guesstimate, although it's dangerous, if it was serious, trainers would have tipped him off before practice is over with.
Let's hope, Rock, let's hope he's more fortunate than last year because,
oh my gosh,
Rock, looking back, that calf injury was a lot worse than anticipated when it happened. I think they thought he was going to be back in 3 or 4 weeks. Didn't happen, Rock. It nearly wrecked his whole rookie season. But when he came back on that field, he showed flashes of what he can do. He can be effective in this defense. I think you put him in nose tackle in a three-man line, he's a prototypical nose tackle. We'll see.
Yeah.
You know what? And this gets people irked in this building. And I don't mean to irk people in this building. I really don't. But do you think there's a pattern? It seems like it to me, and I suggested this once, and I got a nasty gram of a text scolding me for even thinking this.
What was it about, Lee?
I think I sent it to you.
doesn't this team underplay injuries a lot? Seems, oh, this guy will be ready in a week or so. Next thing you know, it's 3 months.
But this, we don't know now because this is all new with Arians.
With Villa?
This is under Arians' regime. Yeah, that's past.
Ah, so you think Cutter was manipulating injury information.
Well, I'm just saying this is all new, so we don't know.
Sure, but the history of this team.
The history of the team.
Yeah.
This is Arians' team, regime.
Yeah.
He's running the show. Do you guys get that?
Now, speaking of that, I'm about to ask Rock Riley. Let's go. Lee, you and I have weighed in on this. I think it's a big question mark hanging over this team. I still don't know how to read it. But, Rock, do you understand my concern about whether you're going to pay Arians all this money and I want Bruce Arians in terms of calling plays? He's already abandoned that for Leftwich, who has no great track record for calling plays like Arians does.
Correct.
Rock, he's in a golf cart. I don't want to read too much into that. He's 66. He's had some health issues. Rock, what I'm asking you is, are you convinced he's all in? He's fully committed.
I am, because he wouldn't have come out of retirement at 66 years old. He wouldn't be out here in the heat. And it's going to come back on him. Wins or losses,
sure.
It's not going to come on Leftwich and all these other guys, and even a Todd Bowles.
And those guys aren't going to get promoted unless the Bucks win.
No, it's all on him. So, no. Sage, I'm not concerned about that. I'm really not. This is how he feels right now. We'll see. If they lose two games in a row, he's going to start kicking some ass. He might take over play calling. We don't know. So, no, I'm not concerned at all. I think that he's all in.
You know who I'm more concerned over than anyone? More so than Arians? And whenever I say this, I get people so hacked off at me. I'm not out to get anybody. This is just an honest observation.
Ndamukong Suh?
No. Byron Leftwich. If Jameis goes south, that's two first-round quarterbacks in 2 years that went south on Leftwich as an offensive coordinator. If you're an owner or even a coach, not named Bruce Arians, why would you hire a guy with that resume? You wouldn't.
And, Rock, I got a million-dollar question for you.
Hold on, Sage. This is your podcast. You're not supposed to be asking me
all
questions.
All right.
Steve says to challenge
I'm going
to
ask a question,
I'll
but
let
I'm
you get in one because this is my first. Oh, beautiful. All right.
Make
answer
a statement,
your own question.
Either.
I'm going to answer my own question.
Do it, Sage.
And, Lee, I take no pleasure in saying this. If the Bucks go 6-10 and Winston throws for 4,100 yards, I'm going to have a hard time signing him to a long-term contract. There. I said it. I'll say it again. If they go 6-10 and I don't freaking care what kind of personal numbers he puts up, I'm going to have a hard time signing him to a long-term contract.
Sage, weren't you the guy that said if Jameis Winston was found guilty of grabbing the crotch of the Uber driver, you were done with him, Sage?
I said I'm looking elsewhere.
And now you're behind.
And I stand by it.
Oh, you still?
I stand by it.
Okay.
I don't doubt
what I was saying, but if he throws for 4,100 yards, and we don't know about the interceptions, let's say he's good on the interceptions, good as in few interceptions, franchised. I agree with Ira. If they're 6-10, they won't sign him to a long-term contract, but they have the franchise tag.
No, you can't.
The Glazers don't want to start over, Rock.
Right.
They don't want to. But if Arian says he's not the guy,
he's gone.
He's gone.
Yeah.
He's gone.
All right, before we wrap this up, I want to still let you
gone,
know.
Before we're gone, right, Rock?
Ira, this Sage, you can see the game, talking about the Bucs Steelers preseason opener, with Sage at Buffalo Wild Wings in Wesley Chapel.
Friday night.
Just east off of I-75, it's 26725 State Road 56. Now, the Sage is going to be out there before 7 o'clock, all game long. He's going to have Buffalo Wild Wings with Man Beast gift cards to give away while supplies last. The Sage is going to be at different Buffalo Wild Wings for every road game this season. See the schedule at joebucksfan.com or on Twitter. Friday night, Buffalo Wild
Wings. Buy me a drink and get your gift card, right?
You do that.
Very simple.
Anything else, say?
Lee, you got the pin chasers thing going on over there?
Well, yeah, we already read that, and I'll just say this. I'm looking for the latest updates on Via on Twitter, and only me. I type in Via, and Ed and C, now one of his Twitters comes up, but it's done. You know, it's old news by now.
Yeah.
And here's another one. I'll just let you look at this. And I didn't manipulate this. This is what happens when you type in Via.
Oh, my God. Tell him.
Ira's eyes bugged out.
We can't even discuss it.
Yeah.
It's a family podcast.
Well, there's nothing against a beautiful laugh.
Rock,
like
excellent
this.
Job. Yes. Excellent job.
Here's my last one to you and for our listeners. So they haven't, you know, the majority that are listening to this haven't been able to see practice. Have you noticed now that you get into it? And now we're into right here before week number one. I came away with the impression of, you know what, all these training camps, even other teams, they all look pretty similar to me.
Yeah.
What have you seen, Sage? What can you tell?
One thing stands out.
Tell our JoeBucksFan.com listeners,
buddy. One thing
buddy.
Stands out.
What, Sage?
This defense is a lot faster. It's a lot faster. And more importantly, they're playing faster on defense.
I was right.
You can't be any worse on defense. Lee said it many times on this podcast, and he's right. You can't be much worse on defense than the Tampa Bay Bucks have been. This team needs to get into the 15 to 20 range on defense. Lee, from what I've seen, and I haven't seen anybody who doubts Todd Bowles as a defensive coach. Nobody.
Isbits.
He's a nobody. So, Lee, do you agree that this defense looks faster?
Oh, of course it does. Yeah. But I've written this many times. I don't know if it's a mirage or not. It's so jarring to the senses. Like,
yes.
Guys can play defense? Can this happen? Is this true? Because the last 5 years, we've watched dreck, absolute dreck. And so even average looks good. I don't want to get too emotional, too over the top. But I'm excited about this defense. But then again, look what we watched the last 5 years.
Rock, if they take a significant jump in defense, boy, what a referendum on Mike Smith and the regime of those coaches.
Well, here's one for you, Ira. You were talking about a rushing game and how much that could help Jameis. What about a defense?
No question. Stop playing from behind.
Yeah, and instead of needing to score 45 points a game, you only need to score 20.
And, Rock, last thing I'm going to say on this podcast. One thing that has to stop immediately, two or three times a year, maybe more, but two or three times a year, the Bucks hit the road and they don't show up. The first halves are abominable. They're down 30-3, 28-7. You can't win like that, Rock, and it's not fair to your young quarterback.
But
that has to stop.
But you can win with her.
Again, with the R-rated podcast.
She's R-rated. She's not tawdry in any way.
Lee,
you can put that in a yearbook.
Check out Sage Friday night, Buffalo
Thank
Wild
you,
Wings
Get me back
in
on
Wesley
track.
Chapel. Next, Ira Kaufman, Sage Podcast. We'll get into this first game. See Ira, Wesley Chapel, Friday night, Buffalo Wild Wings.